Wow, thank you so much. Today we need fresh oil. I thank the Lord for the privilege to come and speak to you again. I just want to pray for you wherever you are right now. I know some of you are watching, in London, in other parts of the UK. I know some people tune in from America, others tune in from parts of Africa, Zimbabwe, Kenya, Uganda, Ghana, Nigeria, and many more countries. Even some European countries do tune in to our broadcast. And I thank God for this privilege that we can reach you. So let me pray for you wherever you are in this world. God sees you. Father, in the name of Jesus, today I release your presence in every home. I pray that God yourself invade those homes that are watching right now. Invade that place with your supernatural presence in the name of Jesus. Father, flow with your Holy Spirit in every home, in every mind, in every heart. I release the presence of God into your home. I release the supernatural name of Jesus Christ into your home. Receive from the Lord God Jehovah. Receive from Yahweh today. His word is coming to you right now. Be ready. God is ready to bless you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And my name is Pastor Gideon Nash from South Street Baptist Church in Greenwich, London, UK. And once again, we are here to release the word of God with revelation to you so that you'll be impacted for something greater in your life, because you are made to display the image of God here on this earth, not just a number and walk through and die. God wants to do something for you. Today we want to talk about the subject, continuous hunger and thirst for God. Continuous hunger and thirst for God. We thank Teacher Tabitha last week. She brought a very powerful word. To us, the importance of renewal of mind was so, so powerful. And I fed back, some of the comments, and she is so grateful to God that you guys love the message. Hey, God is speaking. So let's go right to the word of God and give God the glory. We're going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. It will be the last verse of this chapter of 2 Corinthians. It says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." Yes, this is a kind of a benediction if you're a church person. If not, it is one of the last blessings that we receive in the church, and we share it together and we look at each other's face, or sometimes we shut our eyes and say, "Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all and remain with you all." And we just say amen to that. But sometimes we become almost so used to it, so it's become almost meaningless to us. So let's try and look at what God is saying in context of continuously being hungry and thirsty for God. As my introduction, I will say that the greatest encounter anyone will have to receive is to receive the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and surrender your life to Him. When you receive the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and become a child of God, God wants you to surrender your life to Him. God wants to surrender your independence to Him. That means you decide to give your life to Jesus Christ in exchange of for His grace, and forgiveness that He will give to you freely, so that He will transform your life, and He will do so completely. So when you give your life to Jesus Christ, it's a decision that you make to give to Him in exchange for His grace, that He will forgive you completely and your life will be transformed. That is what it means to become a child of God, to become a Christian. This encounter that you will have in making that decision is a sovereign act. It's a sovereign act. That means it comes from God, in that it does not depend upon how good or how bad you are, but God choosing to show you kindness because of His great love for you. God is choosing to show you kindness because it's great love to you. So you can't sit down and say, "Oh, I'm such a bad person. God will not accept me." Or, "Oh, I'm not so bad, but it's only these little things." Bad is bad. Sin is sin. good is good. So it does not depend upon these things, but God showing you his love because of his grace. Let's read something from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 9. Ephesians is the New Testament. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not as a result of your works, so that one may boast. You see, I mean, God showing his love, showing you his love and his grace is not because that you have done something to merit or achieve it, but because God loves you so much. That is why he has decided that he wants to save you and show you grace. Something you don't deserve to have, he says, you have it regardless. That is what God is saying. So the next step for you is to initiate, and align the word initiate. You have to initiate that process of wanting more from God. I mean, let me illustrate this for you. You know, when a child is born, a baby is born. Now, that baby will always want more. Why? Because they will cry out. You see, the mother or the parent may have a routine to feed the child. But then when the child wants more milk, whether it's breast milk or, artificial milk, the child will cry out for more. The child will initiate. And as soon as they get a breast milk or they get a feeding bottle, they quieten down. They will sleep for a little while and they will initiate it again. So what I'm saying that once you have been born again or you have given your life to Christ, you're just like a baby. And from there on, you have to initiate the idea of wanting more. Because if you don't ask for more, then you will not grow the way you ought to be. So, and God who is rich in mercy, who is rich in mercy and love will respond when you seek him wholeheartedly or from your whole heart. When you seek God from your whole heart, then God will respond to your initiation. That is your initiative. The idea that you want more. So if you want more, God will respond to the more that you want. So I would say that what do we have to do? We have to hunger and thirst for God. Because being a Christian, you need to have that desire. Underline the word desire here. You need to have that desire to leave behind your religious conformity, your customs and traditions, and desire for more of his Holy Spirit. There's got to be a desire. A desire is a hunger. A desire is a thirst. You've got to be in that situation that you want more of that. And that hunger and that desire for the Holy Spirit is the whole fellowship of the Holy Spirit that we talk about. But when I say the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, that means you want more of the Holy Spirit. That is what you are asking for. It's not just a word that you throw here and there. Some people may disagree, but that is their choice. But the word of God is that you have to desire more of the Holy Spirit, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, which means a continuous hunger and thirst for God that never lets you be satisfied. You're never satisfied. Do you know some kids are never satisfied? They always eat and never stop. Even some grown-ups also do that they're always eating and never stop. Because there's got to be that desire and continuous hunger and thirst for God that never lets you be satisfied, but rather creates an insatiable desire in you for more. That means you are not satisfied with where you are, you want more. Every state that God takes you, you want more. You want more of his Holy Spirit. That is what you want. You want more of God. You want more encounters with God. You've got to be hungry and thirsty for God. People who are hungry and thirsty for God leave their convenience and safety behind in order to seek more of the Holy Spirit. Some people want to walk and live in the fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Remember, God cannot take you beyond the level of your contentment. If you are content with what you are, you will never go for it. A lot of people, their business life, they don't want any more. They're just a little profit and they're happy with it. Some too, a little bit of a promotion, they probably, manage to get to a team leader and they don't want more. Some people get to the managers and they want more. So whatever your situation is, I want you to get to the point that human beings are created to want more. Even in our economy right now, in our situation, we want more. We want more new things. We want the more new phone that comes in, the more car that we release. At some point you overgrow your house and you want more. So why don't you do so with God? Some of you have large bank balances and you still want more. Some have great positions in jobs and you still want more. Why not? That's the human nature. Because God created us to have abundance of everything. So for that reason, there should be. And to have those abundance, unless you are hungry and thirsty, you will not get anywhere. So we have to leave our convenience and safety behind in order to seek more of God. Such people would like to live in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Remember, God cannot take you beyond the level of your contentment. If you are content with where you are in your faith, if you are content with what you know and receive from God, you will not be able to move from where you are to where you ought to be. You cannot move in the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, which is the fellowship or the communion of the Holy Spirit we are talking about. You will not be able to move in that power if you are content. I've met some people that is, oh, I'm happy where I am. Oh, I'm happy with my faith as it is. They don't want to more. They don't want any more. I just challenge you. You are being complacent. You are being, you are not even walking in line with nature, because nature, you don't become stagnant. Otherwise, you continue being a baby forever. And if you're a baby all this while, and you are, say, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and you're still a baby, that is abnormal. It is not right. Say to yourself, if I remain a baby in Christ, I am abnormal Christian. Say that for yourself. If I remain a baby in Christ, I am an abnormal Christian. And that is exactly what you will be if you still remain a baby in Christ with your contentment. Yeah, so if you only live in your contentment, you become stagnant. Underline the word stagnant. Today I will ask you to underline a few words. You become stagnant and irrelevant in the kingdom of God. You see, people who are content with where they are in their faith, they become stagnant and irrelevant. Have you been in a job place that somebody was probably just a bookkeeper or a finance officer or the cleaner or the security guard, and all that they do is be there, and you went in and probably you were even of a lower rank than they were, and in 10 years time you were the manager and they're still in the same place? Who trained you and now you are their manager, and they get upset? Why? Because they don't want to move on, but you want to move on. So today I want to encourage you that if you are content with where you are as a Christian and you're not hungry, you are not hungry and thirsty for God, you become stagnant and irrelevant in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is the demonstration of God's power and God's grace. In Jesus' name, you will not be able to move mountains. When you are stagnant and irrelevant in the kingdom of God, you will not be able to move mountains. Mountains is a sign of demonic presence. It's demons. You will not be able to move mountains. You will not be able to have breakthroughs. You will not be able to shift boundaries. You will not be able to rebuke the devil, heal the sick, or even lead anyone to experience the love of God. When was the last time that you led somebody to receive Jesus Christ as his or her Lord and Savior? The fact that you haven't done that the whole year or the last 6 months, last 2 months, because you are stagnant and irrelevant in the kingdom of God. You may be saying, oh, Pastor Gideon, why do you say that? Of course, the truth is that you are stagnant. You are not growing. We are supposed to make disciples. And you haven't led anybody to Christ in the whole year. What are you? You are irrelevant in the kingdom of God. You are not building with God. God wants people who will build with him and who will move on in supernatural power, who will move on in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will move on in the love of God, who will move on in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And where are you? Stagnant and irrelevant. You're not doing anything. So that is where you are. And if you are in that situation, I just want you to know that you cannot experience God anymore. You are cold, spiritually cold. So what do we have to do? You may ask. You have to change our mentality. We therefore have to change our mindset. We should renew our minds and thoughts to align with God so that we would receive the mind of Christ to transform us. When we read 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 16, it says that we have the mind of Christ. So effective, that means you have the ability to have the mind of Christ, but to have that ability to see through what Jesus Christ wants, or what Christ wants, or what is in his mind. Because sometimes you can tell the mind of somebody when you are close to that person. You can predict what the person is doing. The fact that you are blunt The fact that you are stagnant and irrelevant, you cannot see the mind of Christ. You cannot have that mind of Christ. It's not automatic. You've got to be prepared to change your mentality so that God will transform you by the power of His Holy Spirit. This challenges us to change the way we think about God and how He works with us. You see, effectively, our theology need to change to conform to what is good and perfect will of God. That is what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He said, be renewed in your mind so that you prove what is perfect, acceptable, and be conformed to God, God's will for your life. So are you conforming to God's will in your life? Is your mind being transformed? Is your mind being changed? Are you changing your theology? Are you thinking? Are you thinking seriously? And as I grow, because I want more, every now and then I get to understand, I receive new revelation, and my understanding of God 20 years ago has changed in certain ways and many places, simply because I understand more. Just like a child, as you are growing, what you thought was, you thought your parents were giants because you were that short and they look so tall. But as you grow and you yourself put on a little bit of height yourself, you see that, oh gosh, they're not as giant as I thought they were. That is exactly the same for you, my brother, my sister. If you begin to see God in that context, in that analogy, you come to understand that there's got to be some transformation and renewal of your mind, the way you do things. Now, what are the consequences of living in stagnation? I've talked about stagnation. You become irrelevant, you become stagnant, you don't move on. What are the consequences if you're an irrelevant Christian, just dead Christian? I mean, if you just dead Christian, powerless Christian, what is the consequence of being in stagnation? One, those who do not continuously hunger and thirst for God becomes religious, underline the word religious, and they become contained. They become contained. They become contained. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5 tells us that they become contained. That means it's as if you are in a box room. All that you do is you go round and round and round. You are contained. You cannot do anything. You cannot break out to do anything. You cannot achieve anything because you've explored your surroundings. And your surroundings, you know everything about it. You don't know anymore. You don't know what is out there. There's a bigger world out there. You need to get out of it. And you become contained. And you know what containment comes from? The enemy sets in. You open the legal door and give the legal right. You open the door and give the legal right to the enemy to get in. And when he comes, he contains you. When he contains you, you cannot move on. And sometimes you see yourself and think, oh God, I want this, I want this, I want this. And each day you go round and round in circle. And whatever you tell God you want, you want, you're still in the same place because your mind is not renewed. Because you are a Christian and you are stagnant, you are not growing, you are not thirsty, you are not hungry. Today you said, oh God, I want you so much. The next day you just go and do the very things that made you stagnant and you are still stuck in the same quagmire. You go round and round and round. Have you asked yourself, why is it that I've been praying about this time and time again for a long, long time? I am not getting that breakthrough. It's because you are contained. You've opened the door, given the legal right for the enemy to contain you. It's as if you are chained from having a breakthrough because there's no hunger, there's no thirst in your life. And since there's none of these, you are contained. So contentment is a dangerous thing. It's a form of godliness. But that means you appear to be a Christian. You go to church, you worship God, you raise up your hand, you even speak in tongues, and you worship God, you give your tithe, you do everything. But these are religious things that you are doing because there is no desire and hunger to have more of God with you. You are happy. And I've met many Christians, even in my church, who say, oh, I'm happy where I am right now. I don't want any more. They're scared because they don't want to know more of God. And yet they'll be quick to say, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with me now and forevermore. But they don't really mean it. One, they don't understand. Two, they don't mean it because there's a veil on their faces and they are happy and they are content. So they are contained. Number two, if you are not thirsty and hungry for God, you become distracted. Another word that I want you to underline. You become distracted. You see, when you are distracted, you lose your focus. You lose your purpose. You become a powerless Christian, you lose your focus, you lose your purpose, and you become confused. Say the word with me, confused. So if you are confused today, I say focus. Say that with me. Focus. Tell your soul, focus in the name of Jesus Christ. So be hungry for God, because otherwise you are distracted. You know what distraction means? You are looking at my face right now, and then suddenly you're just looking the other place. Suddenly you're thinking, okay, that's my text message come through. I have to look at it. Oh, that's a WhatsApp message. Before long, you spend 2 minutes, 3 minutes doing something, and then you come back and you are lost. Focus. Because if you are distracted, you cannot achieve anything. You are double-minded, and the Bible says you are unstable in your ways, and such a person should not expect anything from God. That is what the Bible tells us. A double-minded person is unstable in his ways. That's James. And such a person should not expect anything from the Lord. So focus. If you are not thirsty and hungry for God, you become distracted, so focus. Number three, those who are not thirsty become spiritually weak. They become spiritually weak and are unable to accomplish anything. You see, if you are weak, you are powerless. You see, a lot of Christians are powerless. They cannot do anything. One of the reasons why I desperately want to go back into the church building is that when we are community like this and all of us are gathered together, not only do you see more of the power of God, but then you actually see with your physical eyes some of the demonstration of God's power, and that changes your life. A lot of people have changed in my church right now simply because they have seen a powerful demonstration of God's power in a corporate setting. They have seen the dead raised in a corporate setting. So in situation, they've seen the sick healed in a corporate setting. They've seen demons cast out in a corporate setting. So you want to pray to get back to the building, because some people say, oh, you can have church anywhere. You can have church in the park. You know what? If it is all that is about, God would not set up a tabernacle for the people to be in there. They were already in the park. They were already in the open. But he said, build me a tabernacle. If it is all about meeting in the park, then Jesus Christ will not have gone to the temple to do most of his miracles and teach the gospel. The apostles wouldn't have done that. If it is all about not doing anything and just hanging around in our homes, then we cannot be the church that God wants us to be. God wants us to meet in the temple, and God also wants us to meet in the home. So if you only meet in the home, we're missing something. And let me prompt you about something. Imagine all the churches are locked out in this country and closed, right? They turn into housing, real estate premises, or they are turning to museums and other things. People will just walk past and they will not know anything. They will forget about God. It doesn't matter how much you preach to them, it will have very little effect. Then where is your God? You see, so you sit down for your churches to be closed and to make irrelevant, and you see that your faith will be irrelevant because most people are not going to be touched by anything. Christians need to start making noise with their singing, with their worshiping, with their praying, and with their speaking in tongues, and with their powerful teaching like we do right now. That is very important. So we don't want to be spiritually weak. Number four, such people suffer from emotional meltdown. Those who are not hungry and thirsty for God, they suffer from emotional meltdown when they are under pressure because their minds are not renewed. Have you seen some Christians that you said they are so powerful by the way they pray so hard, the way they talk about God's message, I mean, so convincingly and passionately, yet then when they come under problems, and they come under pressure, you see them falling apart. Emotionally, they fall apart. Some people are so dedicated, they serve so wonderfully, yet when they're under pressure, they fall apart. That is emotional breakdown. An emotional breakdown is not a good thing. It means that you've allowed the enemy to come to take over part of your soul. And that is messing you about. It is something you need in a healing and deliverance. We do that in our church. Yes, because deliverance is the children's bread according to Jesus Christ. And therefore, you and me need to learn to deal with such situations. Because when you suffer from emotional meltdown, you need your mind to be renewed. Look at what Isaiah, the prophet, says in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. He said, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. You see, emotional meltdown is opposite to what we are just reading. Because it is when you trust God, when you fix your eyes on him, when you are hungry and thirsty for him, and you become a God chaser, as it were, That is when your heart will be made at peace. When you encounter problems, you know that you have solutions. You know that you have solutions, even whether it is demonic or physical, spiritual, whatever it is, because your mind is on God, He will keep you in perfect peace. Number five, you see, what is the consequence of living in stagnation? Number five, besides, said people are delayed in fulfilling their purposes, and their progress in life is also delayed. You see, your purpose in life is delayed because you are stagnant, you deformed, not physically, but spiritually. Think about that. You're 20 years old and you're still a baby in your nappies carrying a feeding bottle. You're not right. You deform. We've got to find solutions for you. So you've got to do something about it. Your purpose is delayed and your progress is delayed. So what do we have to do? You may ask, Pastor Gideon. What I would say is that first, change your environment. I will explain that to you. You see, every time God calls someone, He takes them out of their environment. I'm not saying leave your church, but if you come to that point, you may have to. You see, the environment is what is already present. You see, what is present in any particular place is the environment. See, if you are living in a squatter, it is your environment. If you are living in a rich, affluent area, it's your environment. If you are living in the inner city, it's your environment. What prevails there is the environment. What happens there is the environment. And the environment can shape and make you who you are. So when you are in such bad environment, in all probability, it's likely you'll be bad. When you're in a good environment, you'll be good. So think about that. You see, environment is what is already there, but we have to be prepared to change that environment while spiritual atmosphere is created. Spiritual atmosphere is created. So by creating an atmosphere, you change your environment. In this sense, the throne of God is an atmosphere and it can be brought to the earth and manifested. This happens when you are hungry and thirsty for God. We pray, the Lord's Prayer said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that means the atmosphere in heaven, the atmosphere, spiritual atmosphere in heaven of praise and worship and all those miracles need to come down. So a spiritual atmosphere can be built by you also here on this earth. And it can be built by your praise and worship, your prayer, your speaking in tongues, your declaration of miracles, and your healing, and many, many more. By so you change the atmosphere. So in my church and in my life, I mean, anytime that I feel heavy, anytime that all around me, I cannot have a breakthrough, I have to learn to change the atmosphere. I have to start by worshiping. I have to start by praying. I have to start by praying in tongues. I have to declare the goodness and the power of God in that situation. And as I do that, I see a change in my situation. The atmosphere is released. Because, I mean, persons without bodies roam all over the place, unseen beings. They can cripple you. Now, sometimes it is not spiritual things, but the condition in which you are, it is crippling you, and you've got to be prepared to change that atmosphere. Don't let nobody say no singing, no chanting, and whatever, no baptism, and all those things. They are just trying to change your environment. They want to literally change your environment. They're creating a new environment for you. Refuse that. I refuse that environment, to be under that environment. I want to change the atmosphere. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So now let me also bring you to the prophet Isaiah again in chapter 8, verse 18. Look at what the prophet says about Jesus Christ and his followers, Christ's followers, you and me. This is what he says. He says, Isaiah 8, verse 18, he said, here I am and the children whom the Lord has given me. We are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts who dwell in Mount Zion. Wow. We are for signs and wonders. So where did the church go? Where did the church go that we've missed all these things all this year? Where have I been myself that all these years, all these 40 plus years that I've been a Christian, I've missed that until the last few years? We are for signs and wonders. So every child that God created and saved, I mean, to become a Christian, we and Jesus Christ are for signs and wonders. Jesus fulfilled his part, but have you fulfilled your part? Are you for signs and wonders, or you are just there? Otherwise, you are contained. So this therefore requires that we interact with our environment. What is prevailing in that place? existing in our church, the environment in our church, the environment in our homes, the environment wherever we see ourselves. If the environment of your church has not changed for years, a new movement of the Holy Spirit cannot flow. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit cannot flow through you because you think, you speak, act according to the old environment. One cannot put new wine in old wineskins. You see, you cannot expect God to do supernatural things, miracle things, when you are still in your old way of thinking. I mean, I visited a church somewhere, and guess what? I remember in the 70s, in the 80s, some of the books that, the song that we sang was put in, a book called Songs of Fellowship. And that was even so radical that people existed, because as a Baptist, we had a green book, the Baptist hymnal, or Methodist hymnal, or ancient and modern in the Church of England. The Methodist hymn book or Presbyterian hymn book, those are the things that we are used to. And therefore, to bring songs of praise was so radical. But then I was so surprised that even this year, I can tell you that in some churches, you go and that is the only song that they sing. And I'm thinking, for God's sake, it's been 30, 40 years now. We've got to have fresh worship. Fresh worship. That is the release of the Holy Spirit, because we are signs and wonders. And you cannot put old songs and receive new release of anointing from the new song that we'll be singing. So please, Mark chapter 2, verse 22 tells you that you cannot put old wine into new wineskin. It will burst. It will not fit. In other words, the Holy Spirit will not move in the now if you still live in the environment of the past. You won't experience the fellowship of the Holy Spirit as you should. Because you cannot say, oh, this, we're Baptists, that's what we do all the time. We're Anglicans, we're Presbyterians, we're Methodists. Oh, that's the Methodist hymn book. We've sung it. You see, those songs were great and good at the time. But most of them are irrelevant in this modern time. It doesn't move you anywhere. So you have to begin to think about it. Do I still have to go back to all those old things? It doesn't mean that you are being a rebel, but you want more. You are hungry. You are thirsty. You cannot remain the way you are. That's what we are saying. So let us therefore create a new atmosphere in the renewed environment of our church, our homes, and ministry, and where we all allow freedom for the Holy Spirit to move with power in our lives. So to bring this message to a conclusion or to an end, I just want to pick up something from the current pandemic. It is not gone yet. We still have 45,000 people dead in our country here in the UK, and that is a whole lot of people. That is a big town. The whole big town being wiped away. A whole lot of souls, a whole lot of families still grieving and hurt about the loss of loved ones. I am hurting also to some extent by the loss of my loved ones, and I'm praying that God will continue to heal me. So I pray that today you receive the healing of your soul from the Lord Jesus Christ, and let his grace flow towards you. So in a crisis, like ours, it should always capture our attention and prompt us to seek God more. This is a point, a defining moment for every Christian to be prompted to seek God more. Times like this should make us reflect and change the way we order our lives and not go back to do the same things as before. So the question is, what have you learned in this current pandemic? What have you changed or going to change in your life in order to encounter God? In the midst of impossibilities and impossible circumstances, that great supernatural encounter, or put it this way, in the midst of great impossibilities and difficulties and circumstances, is when we expect that great encounter with the living God, for God to do something in our life. For example, in Daniel chapter 3, we read that Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah, you know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they refused to worship the political and economic gods, which were false gods, what happened? They were thrown into fiery furnace. But guess what? God came for them all the same. And shall I give you another example in Daniel chapter 6? You see, Daniel chapter 6, Daniel, they know him as Belteshazzar in Babylon. He was also thrown into a den of hungry lions, and for them to eat him and finish with him and kill him. But guess what? God came and shut the mouth of the lions, and then they pulled through, and they couldn't, the lions couldn't eat Daniel up. So similarly, when you are going through difficulties and in the midst of impossible situations like a divorce, say terminal illness, or serious family problems, or bankruptcy and more, or your business collapsing, this is the time to ask God and expect supernatural encounters which will help you to fellowship with the Holy Spirit for Him to bring you through this dire situation. Because of such situation, only God can bring a change. Only God can bring a change. So I'll conclude finally by saying that, look, I will encourage you and I will challenge you as well to seek more of God than ever before, to search after Him beyond all that you have previously done before. Search after God. Go after Him. Hunger and thirst for Him more than you previously known. I was searching, I was hungry, I was thirsty in the last 4 years, and I believe God has come through to me big time, and I still want more. I don't want to be where I am. So don't wait any longer. And today I would say, look, let's take from where we started, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.